Welcome, everyone, to episode 456 of the Thumbstick Athletes Podcast. I'm your host, Dan.
I'm Will.
Today's topic is going to be best of the Xbox One. This is recent stuff, so we've for the most part made it to the most recent generation, the generation that's rapidly coming to a close. So we figure we do the Xbox One because we all have Xboxes and all have had Xboxes for a while. Even I have an Xbox, so that's gonna be our main topic for this episode. Will, do you have anything you want to tease for later on?
Honestly, not really. I haven't really played too much video games. I played a little bit more Final Fantasy VII Remake and a little bit of Assassin's Creed Unity. But other than that, not too much.
Okay. I don't have a ton to tease. I've obviously played a lot more Animal Crossing. But I also picked up Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I've been playing a buttload of that. We actually decided that we're going to do an Assassin's Creed Odyssey Revisited episode, because Will played a ton of it and has been trying to convince the rest of us idiots for years now, I guess, to play it. And we finally are all the rest of us playing it at the same time. So Corey's been playing it. Eric's played a little bit of it. And I have been playing a buttload of it. So we're going to give it its due, although late. Obviously Assassin's Creed Valhalla is coming out sometime this fall, but we want to give Assassin's Creed Odyssey its due because it's excellent. So I will talk a little bit about it, not too much. We're going to have a full episode on it in the coming weeks. So, yeah. Without further ado, we will get into best of the Xbox One. Again, we try to lean more towards exclusives for these type of episodes. However, with this generation in particular, and Xbox especially, a lot of the console exclusives that are for Xbox also made their way to PC. So a lot of these games can be experienced on PC. And then some of these games came to other platforms later. So we will talk about that when the game comes up. It's a good thing. It's a good problem to have. But it made picking games a little more difficult for this one. So, and obviously the Xbox One doesn't have, at least in a lot of people's opinions, the quality of exclusives that the PlayStation 4 had. So, but that's not to set off a console war. That's neither here nor there. Right. So go ahead, Will. Best of the Xbox One.
My very first one I'm going to tout is Sunset Overdrive.
Aha. That was on my list as well.
Yeah. I think we all think very highly of Sunset Overdrive. Came out in 2014 and is developed by Insomniac Games. It's very reminiscent to Ratchet and Clank. Just like it was a very, like, I don't want to say cyberpunk, but it was like a punk style game where you, with just like bursting colors everywhere and just like mayhem the entire game was going on with the punk rock attitude, which is really cool. And some of the cool things that they do with like some of the guns, with the explosions and taking out the enemy gang members, like all that stuff with grinding along telephone poles, and just like really cool. And in my opinion, a game like that hasn't come out again the rest of the generation.
So
it's very unique.
It is very unique. It has one of the things I like about it is it has Saints Row vibes. It doesn't take itself seriously.
Yep.
It's goofy and fun and color, like you said, colorful. So that's one of the things I like about it. But you're right. There really hasn't been a game that's been similar to Sunset Overdrive.
It's definitely the most, I would say, one of the most unique games to have come out this generation. And as a huge fan of the PlayStation 4 exclusives, I think it is definitely one of the more unique games to have come out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now that one is one we'll have to talk about. It has since come out on, it's available on PC.
Yep.
So, and I believe it came out on PC not that long ago. I want to say maybe late last year. So it's a recent addition to PC, but definitely a welcome one.
Yeah, definitely. And so, as Dan mentioned off the top, like a lot of these games are also on PC. So this is like a little bit of a different episode.
Yes.
So, we will mention all of them that are also on PC. So,
yep. So my first game is going to be Titanfall. Titanfall, of course, the very first Titanfall was an Xbox exclusive, but also on PC. It did not come to the PS4, at least from what I remember. I'm second guessing myself now.
I don't think it did.
I don't think it did either. Let's see. No, PC and Xbox. So Titanfall, and this is kind of related, but not really. So Titanfall was where I decided to quit playing shooters on console and switch to keyboard and mouse. And I spent probably 2 weeks playing this game a buttload and trying to teach myself to move and aim and shoot and all that stuff so I could play shooters on a keyboard and mouse as opposed to consoles. And that was where the breakup happened with me and console shooters, and I've not been able to go back since. So it's funny that I bring this up as the best of the Xbox One, even though I played it on PC. So,
yeah, I think I played it predominantly on PC as well, but I mean, Titanfall is one of the better shooters, which kind of paved the way for a lot of the early generation shooters. Like a lot of the Black Ops games kind of went the route of the Titanfall moving system with, you know, being able to wall run and, pretty much the way the games were played were enough to kind of push me away from being able to effectively play them.
So Titanfall added, like Will said, the whole movement thing that was completely different from, at least from what I can come up with in my head right now, it was way different than any other movement system, and it added that much more to the skill ceiling in a yep. shooter game. And then on top of the movement stuff, it added in the Titans, which are obviously giant robots, and they were customizable, and, you know, more effective against the ground troops. But if you were a good ground troop, you could still hold your own against a Titan, which made for an interesting dynamic for a first person shooter.
I definitely like Titanfall 2, especially as a game that's kind of like revered as a classic for a lot of people. I just wish those games had legs to last a little bit longer, because I loved playing Titanfall 1 and 2, and I wish like I was better at it, but they kind of made it a little easier for you to play with adding fodder to the online games too. So like you're still getting kills, but you know, you're still getting destroyed by the actual good players, but it feels good to actually kill some of the AI regardless of how bad it is, you know?
So, yes, agreed.
It did make you feel a little bit better, but like I wish people still played those games, because like Titanfall 2 was an incredible game. Like this campaign, they didn't have a campaign in the first one, put out one in the second one, and it was awesome. So yeah. I wish those games were still played today.
Yep, agreed. All right, what do you got next, Will?
Next one, Dan, I am gonna throw out there, and honestly this is my favorite exclusive by far for this generation, for the Xbox, is Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Now I didn't include the first one in this because it's out on Switch and maybe other platforms. I know they're on PC, both of them. Will of the Wisps
Will of the Wisps is on Switch also.
Is it on Switch as well?
Yes. Because Nintendo and Microsoft are buds now. I'm pretty sure. I'll look that up as you're talking about it, but I'm almost positive it's on Switch too.
Dang it. Well, that kind of ruins it, but I guess more people can play it now. But, I mean, what an incredible game Will of the Wisps is. I love the Blind Forest. I thought it was a really fun game, but I like Will of the Wisps more just because it adds... It's like the original game on steroids. I think it improves on everything in the original game. It makes it even better. I was able to play on the Xbox One X, so I had no performance issues, but I know my roommate played on the original Xbox One and had a lot of performance issues. So that's one thing to keep note. But having played it on the console that I played it on, the platforming was as fluid as ever. Graphics were even better than the original game, which I didn't think was possible. Story was really heartbreaking. Loved the combat, all the customization that they added to the combat with you being able to wield a light sword as opposed to just using the basic like flame attack damn the original game. Tons of other abilities, other weapons, new powers. Pretty much made it. I was, you know, in the original game, Dan, you could save wherever if you had enough energy. Uh-huh. But in this one, it auto saves for you, but it auto saves virtually everywhere. So, like, when you die, you're immediately back spawning into the game and trying to do the jump or whatever, the fight again that you died on. So, I think Ori and the Will of the Wisps and the Blind Forest, I think those are, like, some of the best exclusives that Microsoft put out, which is funny because it's an indie game developed by Moon Studio. So, I know Xbox gets a lot of flack for their exclusives, and rightfully they should, because the other ones I'm about to name later in this episode are all sequels or rehashes of the same series. So, I mean, this one was a truly unique unique game that they put out and developed within house. So
correction, Will of the Wisps is not on Switch.
Okay, good.
It's expected to be on the Switch at some point, but it is not on the Switch yet.
So as of this episode, we got PC and Xbox only, but it's coming to Switch. So
yes, I would assume so. There's been nothing, but since Ori and the Blind Forest is on Switch, people are assuming it's also going to be coming to Switch at a later date. So
yeah.
So Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Yeah, you could throw in Ori and the Blind Forest on there, and you're right, Will. Like. You know, it's not triple A. However, the Ori and the Blind Forest and Ori and the Will of the Wisps are very well thought of games for their time. The art style, magnificent. Platforming is great. I'm about halfway through Ori and the Blind Forest. Oh, I've got to finish that by the end of May, don't I?
That's my challenge to you. Right. If you don't complete it, I will just be a little disappointed.
Yeah. I'll be disappointed too. I never think of it. Anyway.
Full with Odyssey now?
Yeah, that's eating up my time. So so up next, I'm going with another indie game, and that's Cuphead.
Oh yeah.
So Cuphead was initially an Xbox and PC release. I believe it was the same day, or maybe Cuphead came out a couple days later on PC. I'm gonna look that up now. That's another one that is also now available on Switch. So again, it's made the jump to Nintendo Switch with Microsoft and Nintendo's partnership. Obviously, the most striking thing about Cuphead is the art style. It's absolutely gorgeous. It looks so good, like a 1930s or whatever cartoon. They very much nailed the vibe for it. It's developed by Studio MDHR, for to give them credit. What's up, Tito? I just noticed you in the chat.
I just brought up chat. Hi, everybody.
So yeah, Cuphead, so good. That's one I want to revisit, because I only got about halfway through it, and I very much like the difficult games. I like to overcome that challenge, but I haven't gone back to it since I played it.
I haven't been man enough to try it, Dan. I saw one of my friends streaming it when it came out, and like seeing how hard it was, I was like, oof, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah, it's pretty hard, but it's also awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I like the cartoon style that it has, like the old time cartoons. Like that's so. That's another game that does art that no other studio is really doing.
Yeah, I know they're working on another game. I don't know if it's a Cuphead game. I'll have to look that up when we're not live.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, Will. What do you got next?
My next one's my favorite racing game to have ever come out, Forza Horizon 4.
Uh-huh.
It takes place in England, and it's pretty cool because what I like that it did differently is changes of seasons. So you'll do like a specific amount of races for like this part of the story and like get a certain amount of fans for like your gang, your troop, whatever. And then like
crew. Season kind of changes. Your crew.
Thank you. And then like your season completely changes, and then it's like winter, which brings a whole new challenge to driving, because I used to drive like a BMW around, but those don't handle well in the snow, so I legitimately had to like get another car just to be able to drive effectively. And I thought that was a really, really cool thing that a game did, because I've never played a game where it played that much of a role. I'm sure in other racing games it's a factor, but it's the first one that I ever played, and I was like, you know, that was a really unique thing that they did. I love England as a whole too, as a location to just kind of bomb around in your cool cars, and like as somebody who's not a car person, I love these games. So I think that says a lot if a car person or somebody who's not a car person speaks highly of their game. Like I think that speaks volumes towards a game. So
yeah, definitely. So I didn't play that much Forza Horizon 4, but I played a buttload of Forza Horizon 3. And again, these are more games, Forza Horizon 3, Forza Horizon 4, and I believe the regular Forza series, both on PC and Xbox. So But yeah, they're incredible games. The amount of cars in them, the customization, and different types of racing, incredible environments. Like they're just, I think they're top notch when it comes to racing games. They're probably the best you can get, at least in my opinion. So definitely thumbs up for those.
It's funny because I think Sony's trying to put out a racing game of that caliber, and I don't think they've quite.
Yeah, because I think they tried to. Did they try with the most recent Gran Turismo? They tried to mimic that formula, and it didn't work out.
No, it didn't end up working out as well as they probably wanted.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, Forza Horizon 4 is amazing. I think everybody should play it. I kind of want to play it right now, actually. I'm thinking about it.
It's funny that game, because whenever I'm like, or at least previously, whenever I was like, just wanted to play something on the Xbox, didn't know what to play, I would just fire up Forza Horizon 4, drive around a little bit. I never even really did that much racing. I would just drive around. It's just fun.
Yeah, it's such a cool little environment that is England. I shouldn't say little environment. It's a pretty big game. So
yeah,
Forza Horizon 4 is awesome.
Okay. Next on the list, Sea of Thieves. It's another game that's both PC and Xbox. So Sea of Thieves is one of those games, and this is going to sound like a cliche, but it's not. One of those games is more fun with friends. Yes. And I only say that because it's designed to play with friends. It's more fun with friends like a Call of Duty would be, or Apex Legends would be. It's literally made for like, to have a crew of four people. It's also on Game Pass, so that's if you ever get the opportunity to play it, definitely do. But there's literally like different jobs to do on the ships that you crew, and it doesn't work as well when you're by yourself and you know you're steering the ship and you see someone on the horizon and then you have to go man the cannons by yourself. It's really not meant to be played that way. I've played it a little bit solo. I don't know that I've ever played it with anybody. I might have only ever played it solo. And there's an element of things you can do, but really, like, it's made for I think you can have groups of four people. It's got to be great fun playing with people.
I have that game in the list of games that I wish I had, or I wish I'd come out in high school.
Yeah,
because that's when you have unlimited time to play games.
Yep.
That would have been the perfect game for me and my friends then, was Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, it's one of those games too that has a lot of emergent narrative. So when it came out, it kind of flopped initially. It didn't sell all that well. Even though it was on Game Pass, it didn't have a huge player base. But some popular streamers actually started playing it, and people saw how fun it was. And it kind of got a second life. They added a bunch of updates to the game and revived it a little bit. And it's as far as I know, it's doing pretty well right now. So
it's usually pretty high up and most streamed.
Yeah. And that's because of how fun it is to group up with people and mess around. And like I said, there's a lot of emergent narrative opportunities there of fun things you can do, fun ways you can mess with people, you know? So
yeah,
that's always fun reading those types of stories for Sea of Thieves.
The hijinks of the games are always fun to read about. So,
yes.
And that's a very hijinksy game.
Yes, it is. It's up there with games I like reading about, even though I haven't played much about. What's the one? The space one whose name I can't come up with right now.
No Man's Sky?
No. Dang it.
Elite Dangerous?
No, it's like that. Eve Online. That's what I'm thinking of. The incredible things people do with like that game. It's just insanity.
Yeah.
So yeah. Sea of Thieves. Moving on. What do you got, Will?
Good pick. Rare Replay. Now, I'm not gonna get into too much detail because there's like 30 some games in here, but I mean it has the Banjo games, Battletoads, Conker's Bad Fur Day, Viva Pinata, which I kinda wanna play at some point. Again, Killer Instinct Gold, Perfect Dark Zero, some real classic games all in one bundle. So I think Rare Replay is a pretty good value for a remaster. Or are they technically remasters?
I don't know if they're changed at all. Couldn't tell you that.
I think so. But they all run on the Xbox One, and you can't play them anywhere else. So I threw them in there because there's a lot of good games in there, classics like the ones that I mentioned that a lot of people love playing. So, and it was $30 on launch. That's a really good deal. So,
yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see. I had one other game I wanted to cover, and of course, I've since lost it.
I have a couple more if you want me to
go. Gears 5.
Yep, of course. I have Gears 5 as well.
Gears 5, you know, obviously, even though it's the fifth entry in the series, again, another one that's on both PC and Xbox One. It's, you know, it kind of it came up with Horde mode, and it's since improved upon. I spent one really long night playing Horde mode, and it was just a freaking blast. The campaign is a little more open in this one than in previous Gears games. It looks great. It plays great. I didn't really have a lot of complaints about it. I didn't continue playing it because I feel like something else came out, but there's really nothing to complain about. It's a solid game. It's a Gears game, and I enjoyed it. So,
yeah, I have Gears 5 as well, and I actually didn't play it. I just know a lot of people really, really liked it that I'm friends with. So people that like opinions that I trust on it. So,
yeah.
I've heard good things about it, and I do eventually want to play it.
Yeah.
You said that was your last one?
Yes, I believe that was my last one.
So I've got technically four, but it's three games, one feature.
Uh-huh.
And that feature is not Game Pass, but I'll talk about it in a bit. Halo 5, I think Halo 5 is one of the better Halos. I would say it's my favorite Halo since Halo 3.
Okay, wow.
Actually, I'll reword it. I think it's the second best Halo since Halo, with Halo 3 being one. I wasn't heavy into Halo 2 because I was a little too young to play it. I don't think Halo 1 holds up as well, even with the updated graphics that are done on 360. I think Halo 5 is a spectacular game. I like a lot of the things they've done. I like how they made the leveling system a little bit more common in what you see in games. I remember the Halo 3 leveling system was a lot different compared to what it is now. So, big fan of that. I like the I don't want to say Warzone like mode, but the big team battles where they added like a ton of different teams on each, or a ton of different players on each side with a lot of vehicles. The mode's escaping me now. I liked the campaign a lot. I did like the dual perspective that it told, with Master Chief kind of going rogue a little bit. One mission in particular I still remember very fondly. It's when you're fighting in like the Covenant City. I thought it was just a really cool mission. So I really liked Halo 5. Got nothing negative really to say about it. Halo Master Chief Collection, that game was very, very, very rough at launch. I do think now it runs fairly well, so I think now is a good time to get it and play it because it's pretty cheap, and you get all the old Halo games, so I think that's a really good deal. And also, Halo Wars 2 is another game that I was really heavy into for a bit that I love, so I think Halo Wars 2 does not get enough credit for being as good of an RTS as it can be at times. Me and my friends played that game quite a bit, loved it. And the final thing I wanted to bring up is backwards compatibility. I think that's a huge draw to the Xbox that does need to get brought up because a lot of those games that came out in the 360 are also backwards compatible on the One, namely like the Fable series, which we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you played Kingdoms of Amalur, Dan, recently on it. So there's just a lot of classic Xbox 360 games that we kind of played a ton that we get to bring onto the new console. And Sony does not do that as of right now. Maybe the PS5 is a little different. We don't know for sure of what their backwards compatibility will look like, but yeah, I think backwards compatibility needs a shout out for Microsoft.
Yeah, definitely. It just increases the size of the library by that much more, you know?
Absolutely.
Game Pass does that also. But we've talked Game Pass to death, so.
Yeah, I think everybody at this point knows that Game Pass is a good deal. Just do it.
Yeah.
Yep. You don't even need to buy games for a bit. Like, just roll Game Pass.
There's a lot of good stuff on there, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Will?
No, I think that's it. I'm sure we missed a game.
But... Yeah, I know. Was it Rise of the Tomb Raider that was console exclusive initially?
Yeah.
Xbox.
Amazing.
Yeah, Rise of the Tomb Raider was great. I didn't like Shadow of the Tomb Raider quite as much as Rise of the Tomb Raider. Yeah. So that's worth a shout out. I feel like I had a couple games to shout out on here that I maybe haven't played.
I know Ashen's a game a lot of people think highly of.
Yeah, Ashen. I mean, there's a ton of multi-platform games to talk about, but I kind of wanted to focus on the more Xbox stuff, even if it was available on PC.
State of Decay 2.
Yeah, I played that very, very briefly, so I can't really mention that. But that's probably worth an honorable mention, because I do know people that do like that. So,
I also haven't played it, so I can't really speak to it. But
sure. All right. Well, let's get into Nibblebits, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, Will, you want to get us started? There's some big, big things.
Yeah, so the thing that I don't know how much you watched of this, Dan, but the Unreal 5 tech demo on the PS5.
I did watch that, yes.
Now, I have zero context for what any of it means, but it looks good.
Yeah, it was... Right? I mean, it's kind of hard to describe, but it was basically like...
It looked like Tomb Raider.
It looked like the character... It looked like ancient Egypt is the impression that I got from it. Like, just someone flying through a valley and, you know, buildings crumbling. I didn't really know what to make of it. I don't think it was from a game. I think it was just an Unreal 5 tech demo.
Yes. I think they want it... I think they said they want to make it a game. I could be wrong, though.
Okay. I mean, it was cool. It looked nice, but yeah, I'm always reluctant to get excited about tech demos anymore because I've seen plenty of those in the past that never really seem to amount to anything.
Yes, I think the Detroit Become Human was a tech demo at first too that became a game. I think I saw people were saying so, but that was the only one that I could think of that had a tech demo that became a game.
Yeah, so. I don't know what to think of it. It was a little bit weird because they talked about Epic Games talked about this is what's running on the PlayStation 5. Epic and PlayStation are kind of in bed together because any PlayStation games that come to PC go into the Epic Game Store. So there's kind of a weird relationship there. So I didn't know what to think of all that. But and then, of course, it touched off the console wars talk again. About what's going to be better, PlayStation or Xbox, and yada yada. So,
I think I'm all but confirmed a PS5 over Xbox. The only drawback will be the cross buy.
Yeah,
I think that's the only thing that might hang me up because I think with the backwards compatibility news, that all of the games that I do have, I'm probably keeping my PS4, so it doesn't matter 100% on the backwards compatibility yet because I do think Sony adds. I don't think they can go about it the same way that they did this gen.
Yeah. And Tito brings up the point. He said, well, technically it was an Unreal 5 demo. It should be accessible for Xbox as well. And that was why it was weird that they talked specifically about the PlayStation 5.
Yes.
That I missed that point. And I'm glad you brought it up, Tito. That was why it was weird to me. Cause Unreal 5 there'll be Switch games that run Unreal 5. So, you know, I don't know.
But there is an IGN article. It might not have been IGN, but it was like a publisher's article that said, don't be surprised that you're not going to be wowed by the graphics jump between this current gen and the next gen. And then what's his face that does the Game Awards said this isn't going to age. Yeah, Jeff Keighley said this isn't going to age well. And then the PS4 or the PS5 Unreal 5 like tech demo came out and everyone was like wowed by it.
Yeah.
So it's like,
didn't age well. Well, what I think they mean is like games that are going to be coming out early in the generation of the new consoles are probably also coming out on the old consoles. So they have to be able to run on that. They'll have slightly upgraded visuals. I really, really hope that they don't try to just make such good eye candy and they still run at 30 frames. Every single game needs to run at 60 frames per second, or I'm going to be furious.
I think I saw the standard for the Xbox One X is or series. We gotta come up with a name.
Yeah, the We'll call it the
Series X.
It's Xbox Series X. They have to come up with a better name because that's awful. But yeah, no, they did say the standard is 60 frames, but developers can choose to not have games be 60 frames. So,
and I want to say Valhalla is going to be running 30 frames. I could be wrong. I don't want to confirm that.
Yeah, but I think you're right, but there's no reason for that. Tito said the thing I liked was they focused on the lighting in the demo. For me, I think that's the key to making a jump in graphics as well as color, but that's my opinion. Yeah, I totally agree. That's why ray tracing is such a big deal now on the new RTX cards. It really does make a huge difference. I watched Minecraft with ray tracing and it's like a completely different game. It's incredible. But anyway,
yeah,
go ahead, Will, finish your thought.
I was just going to say there actually is a little bit more Valhalla news. One thing that they announced was that the Hidden Blade is going to be a one hit kill again. And honestly, Dan, I don't know if you noticed, but sometimes when you go in for a stealth assassination kill, it doesn't one hit. And that drove people absolutely insane.
Yeah, I don't care for that much either. I'm in agreement with that.
I will give you a tip. You have to upgrade your assassin tree to make it, because at that there was a point in that game where I was one hitting everything but like the legendary enemies. So because I built my character as an assassin, so that's gonna be a one hit kill. And they also said that the leveling system won't be like Odyssey, so the game's gonna be structured a little bit different. I know a lot of people, when all that news came out, it was time for all the Assassin's Creed OG fans to pile on Odyssey and Origins, which was really annoying to see.
Yeah,
because I think all of the Assassin's Creed games are phenomenal, so it's just like annoying to see people going out of their way to just like bash these games. But so there's a lot of positive news coming out about Valhalla.
Good.
Right now,
So that's my main frustration. Not to go off on too long of a tangent, but that's my main frustration with Odyssey is the not one hit kill. I get it if something is way above your level that you can't kill them in one hit, but you know, if it's the same level as me or even one or two levels above, you should, it doesn't matter.
You should be able to one hit it.
Yeah. Cause you know, it's a stealth game. And if I don't, like, I don't always pay attention to the health that it's going to take off, and I stab them and I'm like, oh crap, it's not enough to kill them. And now I'm surrounded by Athenians.
Yep. And you're got to fight them all off.
Yeah. Or run.
Or that, yeah, there is that option.
Yeah, but anyway, that's an aside.
Two more things. Next is the new Paper Mario got announced literally out of nowhere
today. Yeah,
that was bizarre.
So, go ahead.
Finish your thought. My laptop died, like charge wise, so I don't have the article. So I'm going off of memory. I believe it comes out July 17th, and I know the main title has Origami in it.
Yeah, so it's called Paper Mario Origami King. It almost seems like there's a cult that forms around the origami thing, because the beginning of the video has Peach like spookily chastising Mario for not wanting to be folded into a piece of a 3D piece of origami, and she captures him. So I don't know what's going on with that, but it looks incredible. I was floored because Eric sent us this video first thing in the morning. And I saw the title. I was like, oh, that must be a joke. And it was not a joke. And the game is coming out in 2 months. We knew they were working on it. How the game didn't leak with it coming out in 2 months. Second of all, how no one knew this was coming is beyond me. That we live in a day where everything leaks. And how they were able to keep wraps on this. Like I said, we knew they were working on a Paper Mario game. We didn't know it was coming out in 2 months.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of, Dan, is because of COVID, that people who would be around Nintendo to be in the know aren't around. Like, everyone's kind of home. So, like, that's the only way I can think of why people wouldn't have known that this was going to get announced as soon as it did. Yeah, because, maybe. As you said, we knew this was coming. We just didn't know when.
Or what it was. Like, there was no details anywhere about it. Like, we would have known if it was going to be called Origami King and if there was going to be origami in it. That's a detail that would have leaked.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, kudos to Nintendo, too, for doing something like this, because this doesn't happen nearly enough. Like, they announced the game, and like it's like you said, Will, it's July 17th. That's a little over 2 months from now. that's incredible. So, you know, I was hyped about it when it, you know, when they talked about it, my hype will remain that entire 2 months.
I think it's a better idea too. I've been saying this for music. Like, I think it's insane that they're doing the thing where they announce something coming out in 6-7 months and video games 2 years at times.
Yeah.
It's just like, don't do that. Just like, I feel like it builds more hype and keep people really excited. It's like, oh my God, like this is coming out in
X amount of days. Even the way Fallout 4 did it, which was they announced Fallout 4 at E3 and it came out in the fall. Like it was 5 months or whatever till it came out. That's like perfect. So
I would say music should be like a month at most and video games should be 6 months at most.
Yeah.
From announcement to release. It's also probably not realistic, but
Maybe not for everything, but
something
like that's perfect.
It will share a release date with another game, which I'll talk about in just a second. I don't know if you noticed, Dan, but it looked like Mario and Bowser were working together.
I would love to see that. That hasn't happened since Super Mario RPG.
Like, I'm almost positive they were working together because Bowser and Mario were, like, in a cart together. Okay. So it's like, are they the ones that are like, what is going on with, like, the Mushroom Kingdom right now?
So yeah, that's great.
That's the interesting thing that I noticed. And also from the leaks that happened when we knew this game was going to be coming out at some point, they said it's like the 1,000-year door. But watching gameplay, everybody said it looks like Color Splash, so I don't really know what route the game's going to go. So,
from what I gather, the combat is supposed to be different. I know people didn't like Sticker Star or Color Splash. Honestly, I thought Color Splash was really good the little bit that I played of it. I played a lot of Sticker Star and did not care for it.
Yeah.
But I do think it's going to a more traditional battle system. That's just from what I gather from what people in comment sections have said. People that know the games a little bit better than I do, because it's been a long time since I played anything Paper Mario. So,
yeah, which if it's more a traditional battle system, I think this game has really high potential of being awesome.
Yeah, it looks really good. So
it's funny. Nintendo said the other day, because everyone's like, man, the only game that they have announced for the Switch is like some random terrible game that I can't even remember what it was. And Nintendo's like, oh, like we got stuff coming. Like, don't worry. So this is like the first domino to fall. So I'll be interested to see like what's coming out the rest of this year, because Phil Spencer made the point recently that 2021 is going to be the year where
most affected
will be affected. Yep. So
Tito agrees with you on COVID could be the reason that this was able to stay under wraps. Says that's probably it. Will, you sexy sleuth?
You know, I've got all this time right now to figure all this out.
Yeah.
So, but unfortunately, this game shares a July 17th release date with Ghosts of Tsushima. Ghosts. That game put out an 18-minute gameplay video today with the PlayStation State of Play. And man, Dan, holy crap.
Yeah, I have not had the chance to watch this yet. I plan on doing so tomorrow, and I'm very excited for it.
A lot of it is not anything that we haven't seen already, but it looks really awesome.
You know what? I'll call up a video right now and have it playing in the chat while we're talking.
There's a couple things that I really, really like that I saw. One of them being the different stances. So there's like different like stances, like, and having watched Demon Slayer recently, they have the different breathing techniques for sword fighting. So this reminds me of the different stances. Like, it kind of correlates with that. And like, you can enter this stance to fight this enemy more effectively than this stance to fight that enemy more effectively, which I don't think is really a thing in other games that I've seen. So that's a really unique thing that I saw. And also, the enemies can fear you. So like, if you are just destroying this camp, eventually there'll be a point where the enemies like fall to the ground and start like backing up on the ground, like terrified of you because of you just being a killing machine. Nice. So it looks really good. I didn't notice waypoints either, or in a very limited HUD in
there,
this game.
Yeah,
so,
there as far as I know, there's no waypoints.
Yeah,
from what I gather.
That makes me a little interested if it's going to run like Dark Souls, because Dark Souls doesn't really have waypoints, but it leads you in a logical way through the world. So I'll be interested to see if Sucker Punch is able to do it effectively.
This one is open, and from what I gather, it you have to kind of learn the environment, which I find to be awesome.
They did show that like birds can point you in the direction of objectives and points of interest. So that's one thing to keep in mind when you're playing the game, which is really, really interesting. Okay. So, yeah, I think this is going to be like the last, like this is going to be the last Sony exclusive. So they probably really want to knock it out of the park. So. Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a banger to me.
Yeah.
I'm really
totally,
I think I said it in the chat earlier, but I hope it's, in our Thumbstick Athletes chat, I hope it's one of the Sony games that makes it to PC.
I kind of think it will. A lot of Sony's games are starting to like trickle. I think they're doing a test market for that.
Yeah. So maybe once they see how well, what's its face, Horizon Zero Dawn sells on PC, they'll be like, yeah, let's just print some money.
Oh my God. Yeah. I feel like it's fairly easy to port having zero developing knowledge, but
yeah.
Port them over and good graphics and just let people go crazy playing their games. I mean, a lot of people don't want to buy a PlayStation for, I mean, Corey did. He'd be regretting it now if it wasn't for some if games.
If it wasn't for Assassin's Creed, you mean?
Yeah. So that's it for me with Nibblebits, Dan.
Okay. I mean, you kind of covered what I was going to talk about. I'll see if I can find something real quick. Oh, so some Ubisoft news. We've been talking up Ubisoft lately, right, Will?
Absolutely. I mean, they've kind of become one of my favorite developers.
Yeah, so their latest earnings report, they had 11 games that sold over 10 million copies this generation. Yeah.
Wow.
I was very much surprised to hear this. Some of these I would guess, but some of them I was surprised to hear. So they're Assassin's Creed Unity, Origins, and Odyssey, The Division, The Division 2, Far Cry 4, Far Cry 5, Ghost Recon Wildlands, which surprised me, Rainbow Six Siege, Watch Dogs, which kind of surprised me, and Watch Dogs 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's surprising. I find it funny that Unity, Origins, and Odyssey did, but Syndicate didn't.
Yeah, I played Syndicate. So Syndicate was after Unity, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I liked Syndicate.
You know what? That game's not as bad as people make it out to be. But yeah. That's a whole other... The Assassin's Creed... I'll talk a little bit about it when I talk about Unity, but the fandom of that is a very interesting group, so...
Yeah, I could see that.
What they think of the game. But that is very surprising. Watch Dogs 1 and 2 is very surprising, because I don't think Watch Dogs 1 was that great a game, but 2 I heard was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I ended up quitting playing 2. Or Watch Dogs 1 because it had a weird stuttering problem on PC that I guess just never got fixed or never went away.
Yeah.
It was just a little stutter every now and again, but it annoyed me to the point where I just couldn't play it anymore.
Stop playing it. Yeah, I get that. I really want Watch Dogs 2 to come to like Game Pass or something so I can play it because I've heard good things.
Watch Dog Legion is going to be on the Uplay thing. Service, so that's probably how I'll play that game. I'll buy a month of the Uplay thing and play it that way.
That's a good idea because that'll be way cheaper than the $60 price tag.
Yeah,
we've become savvier gamers over time.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, like if I don't think it's something I'm going to play again, I don't need to have it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
I get that.
Anyway,
yeah,
that's it for Nibblebits. Really, like we covered the big stuff. So, Will, how's your week?
It's been good. I haven't played as much video games as I wanted because the weather is starting to get a little well.
Today was nice.
Sometimes the weather decides to be nice because I think what 4 days ago it was snowing and 30.
It snowed on Friday and Saturday, or Saturday and Sunday? Friday, Saturday? It doesn't matter.
Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. Ugh.
Which, not only did it snow, not like flurries, it full-on blizzard for a bit.
Yeah, in the middle of May.
I was driving and was in disbelief. I couldn't see the road in front of me because it was so bad. So, It is now getting to the point where it's warming up, but it has also decided to start raining for the next like couple days. So it's just like, you know, you don't win.
No.
In upstate New York weather in any way. No, nope, so.
It's the worst.
But I do think we're out of the woods, Dan, for the snow and cold.
Don't do not jinx it, because I will pack my car and leave this state right now. I'm so sick of it.
I've been saying, because everyone's been quarantined, that the earth is confused about what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's like,
wait, is it still winter? Is that why everyone's still inside?
Let me just unleash this snowfall in the middle of May.
Oh, God.
New York State, well, at least the Southern Tier, is starting to open up tomorrow in Phase 1, which is pretty cool. So there's that. Yeah, been working out a lot, which has been really, really nice, considering I couldn't for about 5-6 weeks. So there's that. I'm just playing video games. So.
Yeah. I don't have a lot to talk about either. So my wife ended up getting a digital copy of Animal Crossing because her and my son were sharing a physical copy. But he's the type of person that whenever you're playing something, he wants to play it. So whenever she would try to play, he'd be like, no, I think I want to play, because it's his copy. He got it for his birthday. So she never wanted to be like, no, you can't. So she bought a digital one. So we have 4 copies of Animal Crossing in our household, along with 4 Switches.
Yeah, I think I read that, or maybe somebody told me, might have been you, that Animal Crossing has already sold what their lifetime expected sales were.
Yeah, already.
Like, it's been 2 months it's been out.
Yeah, and I don't think you can get physical copies for it. Still, because we always try to find, especially with Switch games, because there's a good chance that my son or daughter, and now my wife, are going to want to play on their Switch. So it's just easier to have a physical copy to pass it around, so we don't have to buy multiple copies of every game. That's one of them. Like, there's just no physical copies anywhere for it. So you can get lucky occasionally, but it was just easier to get a digital.
So. Well, GameStop is considered essential business, so they need to get their copies in there.
I know it. Even like Amazon and Best Buy, like their online stuff that's sold out everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, that was the game of quarantine for the world, really.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it made its way into the mainstream. That's for sure.
Yeah. So we have that. Gosh, I feel like I had something else I wanted to talk about. I always do, and I never remember, but it was probably nothing important anyway.
So these quarantine days really just kind of blended together. I don't know what week is what anymore.
Yeah, everything is everything kind of blends together at this point. Yeah, I barely know what day it is. I barely know what month it is. So it's funny because the internet memes, some people are like, the only reason I have any idea what day it is because it says it on the bottom left hand side of the screen on Animal Crossing. Like, that's the only way I know what day it is. And then someone put on Twitter that, you know, looking back on the Rebecca Black song Friday. And they were like, if only I had the confidence that she had to know that it was Friday, because I have no idea what day it is.
No clue.
It's like, yeah, totally. Yeah, Tito's like, what is outside? Yeah, today was the first day we went and spent some time outside because it was like 70 today.
It was nice.
It was nice for a little bit. So we played in our front yard for a little bit.
Yeah. Even yesterday was pretty nice. It was a little chillier, but
decent. There was a chilly wind, but not too bad. But I don't want to talk too much about the weather because it's just going to make me aggravated and sick.
When it snows on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. We've still kind of accelerated our plans to hopefully move out of state before too long, so.
Don't blame me there.
Anyway.
Oh, I have something funny that I had to deal with this week, early in the week.
What's that?
It's calling New York State unemployment.
Oh, yeah.
For anybody who's in New York State trying to call, oh my Lord, I am so sorry for everybody, because I think I called in one day 138 times. Wow. To get through. I literally sat down from about 11 until 7:30.
So that's crazy.
That was a fun task. So eventually I got through the next day after the 10th call. So, but yeah, that was a chore. I feel bad for the people who are working in the New York State Unemployment Office, because they, even the guy I talked to, they was like, yeah, we were not ready for what was going to happen.
Oh, sure. I mean, I feel like those places are understaffed and slow to respond anyway.
Yeah.
Without something like this happening. So
I can't imagine they're looking into every claim 100%. They're probably just like, screw it. Like,
oh yeah, no, they're just approving things. No question.
Just like, whatever. We'll,
I know it out. If it were me, I wouldn't even think about it. I'd just, you know, whatever they do, stamp or approve or what, that's just boom, 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 boom.
Especially with New York State just being as inefficient as of a state as it is, like,
yeah, oh yeah,
with everything,
yep, it's piss poor.
It really, really is. It's a terrible state.
it's a horrible. It's a wretched hive of scum and villainry. That's what it is.
It's just like I like the Binghamton area, like as an area.
Do you
but like? Just, yeah, I don't mind it at all.
I hate it here. It's the worst. But,
I mean, it's no secret that New York State has a lot of issues.
Yeah, it does. They don't call it the Rust Belt for nothing.
Yeah, and I'm willing to acknowledge that. I do like it, but like, I know there's less than desirable things in here. So, yeah. But other than that, like, that was pretty much my week, playing video games when I can, and that's it.
Yeah, me too, for the most part. Tito says if they can't take your call in Florida, they just tell you and hang up. That's probably the way to do it.
Yeah, honestly. But, like, it was funny. Like, there would be... It's funny to me that they don't have a, like, you have a 3-hour wait, like a waiting line. It's just like, we just can't take your call right now.
Yes.
Everybody's busy, and then it cuts, and then you recall. But then, like, if you're close enough, they're like, okay, you got like a 30-minute wait, and then you're on wait. Like, it's very bizarre, like how it's structured.
Okay.
So yeah, the guy that I did talk to said that they were in the process of putting in a new system when this hit, so they had to stop.
Oh, of course.
So I guess that's what he said was going on, and then, which is perfectly timed to be transitioning.
Yeah.
So
okay. Sounds good. So what did you play, Will?
Played a little bit more Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'm to the point now where Tifa, Barrett, Cloud do the Mako 5 reactor, and then Cloud gets separated, and then that's when he meets up with Aerith. I really like the remake so far. I really do. I want to play more of it, but I've been trying to work through Unity, too, at the same time, and with my game time being very limited. I haven't really been able to play as much as I want, but I'm about 8 hours into the game now, which, you know, I really like it. I think it's awesome. I think I love Tifa as a character. Like, I think she's fantastic. I think, honestly, she's my favorite character in the remake so far.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of moments that are really, really funny. Like, when Cloud, Tifa, and Barrett are on that train going to Mako Reactor 5 and everything kind of falls apart, like, they have to jump off of the train together. And it's just really funny because they kick the door open with a moving train and Barrett's there trying to pump himself up to jump off of this train. It's just like really funny dialogues, like nuances they throw in there that I really, really enjoy. So
nice.
I'm really, really enjoying it. So I'm very much looking forward to playing it, seeing where it ends, and then having to guess how many parts this is going to be, because I feel like it's going to be 5.
Wow.
Just because I feel like I just have a bad feeling it's going to be a lot more parts than people are going to want.
Sure.
Because it should be 3, but it probably won't be.
Okay.
The other thing I played is Assassin's Creed Unity. That game gets a bad rap for being a bad game, but it very much is not.
Okay.
I think that game is the best of the old Assassin's Creed formula. I think customization's pretty good. I have enjoyed the amount of customization that's in the game between armor, weapons, just gear that you can do. Very much I'm impressed by that. I think the parkour is the most fluid that it is in those older games, because people just have like a boner for Assassin's Creed 2, but that game kind of plays like garbage, in my opinion. As good of a game as it was then, it does not compare mechanically to the new games, obviously, in like Assassin's Creed Unity. Uh-huh. I think that game plays really well. It's also the Assassin's Creed game that does the best job with like living in a city, especially during the revolution, the French Revolution. Like, there's just so many people out in the streets, like rioting. Like, it's incredible. I can like see why the game has some hiccups with performance, because there's so many people that it's generating out in the streets. So, yeah. Like, I think I'm a huge fan of Origins and Odyssey. I think those are probably the best games in the series, but I think Unity is a lot better than a lot of people gave it credit for. And I think I haven't had a glitch or anything like that happen with the game. I haven't had too many issues now that I'm getting used to the parkour, because, you know, like Assassin's Creed parkour has always been a divisive thing with it running well. And like, you get like running up things you don't want to run up.
It still happens.
Yeah, it still happens. It's a thing. I feel like that's never going to be perfect because of error by input, like,
yeah,
by controller input. I just feel like it's never going to be perfect. It's like, once you get used to that and kind of accept that it's not going to be perfect, I kind of see a little bit more of the better with it. And I really do think Assassin's Creed Unity is actually a pretty good game so far. So I'm only like a third of the way through right now. So working my way through it slowly, but I really, really do like it. So
nice.
As soon as I beat that game, I'm going right to Odyssey to play with you guys. So
yeah.
Which is another reason why I'm playing it.
Okay. So yeah, I'll talk about Odyssey. So the way it worked, I don't even know how this started. Did you convince Corey to pick up Assassin's Creed to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey on his PS4?
No, I think he just raged. I've been trying to get him to play Persona 5 because I want someone to validate me. So I didn't know, but I'm pretty sure he just gave up on Final Fantasy 7. So he wanted to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and he's been talking about it for a while. And I have all the DLC and everything like that, and we game share. So I think he just started picking it up, and he just has been lost in it since then.
Yeah. So and Eric started playing it and really liked it. So I was like, well, you know what? Screw it. So I only bought the base version. So I saw the base version. It was on sale on Xbox for, it was 15. So I was like, yeah, might as well. So I bought it. And yeah, I've been adoring that game so far. It is so good. Yeah, Tito, Corey gave up on the Final Fantasy VII remake. We'll have him come on to talk about it, because I'd like to get his exact reasons in his words for why. So we'll have him talk. What is? Oh, okay. Sorry, the video changed all of a sudden.
Yeah,
we'll have him talk about it. But yeah, I picked up Assassin's Creed. I had played the first hour or so before, so I knew a little bit of what it was about. I had done some of the missions once you get to the starting island. What's it called?
Kefalonia.
Yeah. I of course picked Cassandra to start with, because anytime I get the opportunity to play as a not dude character, I play as a not dude character, because I said I am a dude, so I would like to be something different in the video games that I play.
I'm glad everyone picked Cassandra too, because I think she does really good as the main character.
Yeah. So yeah, like, I really like this. It's, now that I've played it for a little bit, I really like that they've gone in more of the RPG direction than the action stealth game direction. I just think it works a lot better. I like the combat a lot better. The combat in this one is a lot. I haven't played since Syndicate. That's the last Assassin's Creed. I didn't play Origins. So I like that it's not just holding the parry button and then doing counters all the time. It's a lot more active. There still is a lot of parrying, but it's not just holding a
button.
It's not broken. It's not just holding a button. It's, you know, you have to time the parries. And then there's a bunch of different attacks and stuff you could do. I very much like the RPG systems. I think the ancient Greece is a great setting. The Roman Athenian wars is a great setting for the game, being into history like I am. It's a great time. I was up until 5 a.m. playing it a couple nights ago.
Really?
So yeah, that's how much I like it.
How far did you get?
So right now I'm trying to I'm tracking down Cassandra's mother.
Okay. So you did did you get to the point with the cult?
I just was introduced to the cult.
Oh my god, that's my favorite part of that game.
Okay, yeah.
Cult of Cosmos.
Yeah, yes. Because I dislike and distrust cults in general, yeah. So I'm very excited to see where this is going. Because if I can kill off cultists, I'd love to.
So I guess I can say part of the reason why I think Cassandra works better as the protagonist, because I think Alexios, spoiler, so I'll give it a second, but spoiler, works way better as Deimos.
Okay.
I don't buy Cassandra as Deimos as much, partially because I know Cassandra is the canon protagonist of the game.
Uh-huh.
So Alexios is supposed to be Deimos. But yeah, I cannot believe people rant on this game. Like, I don't understand it at all.
Yeah. I mean, it just works better as a game, like playing it this way. It's just much more interesting. You know, I love getting a new piece of gear and customizing it and upgrading it and, you know, getting legendary weapons and all that stuff. That stuff was there to an extent, but not like it is in this game, you know?
Yeah.
I'm never annoyed by the amount of equipment and stuff that I get. I don't know. I think it's great. I love the ship stuff.
I mean, I think it's like an amped up Black Flag, but more RPG than
and it, Black it, Flag. It plays a lot better than Black Flag. You know, Black Flag, I loved all the pirate stuff, but that was still when I hated the controls for that game. So it does play a lot nicer than Black Flag.
And I was actually watching a lot of like retro, because I have so much like free time at night. I've been watching retrospectives on video games recently, and I'm kind of like working my way through the Assassin's Creed retrospectives, and like Black Flag played like hot garbage.
Yeah.
Lot of issues with combat, like glitches, like, but like for whatever reason it never gets brought up, but Unity got like torn apart for it.
Yeah, you know? No, it was it played mostly the same as what's its face? Assassin's Creed 3, which I hated, but there was a couple key differences. Was Assassin's Creed Black Flag when they started doing like if you're doing like a follow mission, if you mess it up, there's other ways of finishing the mission rather than having to restart. I think that was Black Flag that started doing that.
I think so. It's been a really long time.
Yeah. So I remember I rage quit on a follow mission on Assassin's Creed 3. That was what did it. Cause if you failed, like even if you got through like 3/4 of it and you failed at the end, you had to start over at the beginning. And it was so frustrating. So I think Black Flag is the first, maybe it was Syndicate. I don't remember now, but it doesn't matter. The pirate stuff, the ship stuff all saved Black Flag and made whatever else you dealt with worth it. There wasn't that in Assassin's Creed 3. And then Syndicate, I just felt like played better. Tito says, I also appreciate that Cassandra looks like a badass athlete's body that could actually kick your ass. She's not over-sexualized. Totally agree. She does. She's like big, and she's got these big shoulders and big legs. She looks like an athlete. Yeah. Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, people wanted a female assassin protagonist, and then like we got it in Odyssey, but everybody, like the huge, like hardcore fans of the games, like hate the game because it's not historical enough. I don't know. Yeah. But like some of the stuff in that, Dan, like when you haven't, I don't think you've gotten to Athens yet.
No, not yet.
So, like, with Socrates, like, he's a part of the game. Like, a lot of his stuff is really, really cool. Like, I'm not going to tell you about any of it, but it's, like, really well done. Like, the ship combat is better than it's ever been. Like, some of those side islands that you don't have to go to, but when you do for some of the side missions, are some of the coolest parts in the game. Like, there's two that I can think of right now where it's, like, some of the cooler side stories in the game, because a lot of people say that the side stories aren't good, but, like, I love the side stories. So, I mean, they have the nemesis system with the mercenaries. Like, that's a mechanic that people loved in Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War. That's in this game, too. There's just, like, a lot of things going for this game that I think make it a really, really fun game.
Yeah. Real quick in the chat. Hey, guys, Rachel in Cleveland. Been catching up on the podcast lately. Rachel, I'm glad to hear from you. It's been a little bit. Got me through some stress and down days. Thanks for that. Been laid off since 3/13 when the Casino was forced closed by the governor. Been playing lots of Rocket League and The Long Dark. Great games.
Rachel, I feel you.
Unemployment. Will's been laid off for a while. I haven't had a job in a couple of years now. My job is full-time homemaker.
Which that's a 60-hour job, 70-hour job.
It's more than that. It doesn't end. It's 24/7.
That's true. That's a good point.
So, glad you made it to a live stream, Rachel. Like I said, we haven't heard from you in a little while. That's a bad thing. We get it. I'm not calling you out for that. There's been, I don't know if you follow any streamer Twitter, Will.
Not really.
There's always some sort of strange controversy, talking about like lurkers and people calling out lurkers, which we would never do that because I'm a lurker. I always lurk and I never talk to any of the streamers really that I follow. But another thing was mentioning someone when they haven't been around and whether or not like that person should get offended. Like, but I mean, if it was me, I'd be psyched, you know?
Yeah. If people want to chat, then they can chat. I've never really.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. But anyway,
I lurk too. So
that's an aside. Oh yeah. I very, very rarely will I talk to a streamer that I follow. I just watch. Anyway, where were we? Assassin's Creed.
Odyssey. Yes.
Odyssey. Yeah, no, Odyssey's really good. I'm glad I started playing it. Will, you definitely did the game justice, in my opinion. So
yeah, I gave it the impassioned speech for Game of the Year.
Yeah, I get it. What year did it come out?
18.
Was it the same 18. Year as Breath of the Wild? 2017. It was 2017.
No. Was it 2017?
It was 2017.
Wow, like 3 years ago was the last Assassin's Creed. Wow. I'm actually surprised by that. Yeah, I'm very surprised. All right, wait. I thought Origins came out in 17.
I don't know.
Actually,
here, we have this thing called the internet that we could look it up on. Tito says 2017, so I'm going with that. How far am I into Assassin's Creed Odyssey? I am looking for Cassandra's mother. I just got to, is it Phoikos? No.
Phoikos.
Yeah, I just went to the Oracle of Delphi.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's right where I am. I went in there to talk to her, and she got shushed by the guards. So that's where I left off.
So it came out October of 2018.
2018.
What won that year?
I don't remember.
Oh! This was Celeste year because I think I said I'm absolutely refusing to let Red Dead Redemption 2 win Game of the Year, and I will not leave the studio.
Okay.
Until it doesn't win. I think we settled on Celeste.
We were okay with Celeste, yeah, because I hadn't played Red Dead at that point. I don't know that I would have felt differently.
Yeah,
Rachel says, I got a new gaming PC in September, but I've been using it almost exclusively for online poker. Oh, Rachel, make sure you get... I forgot to mention this in Nibble Bits. Grand Theft Auto 5 is available for free in the Epic Game Store. So download it. Like, it's free. So dual 24-inch monitors. Nice.
Woo.
I like, as much as I'm excited for the Xbox Series X, like... I just love having a PC. I love playing games on PC.
It is nice.
It's more convenient playing on the Epic Games Store. No, it's Epic Games. It's a new storefront. It's the one that has Fortnite on it. They just maybe like a year ago launched their own store. It might have been longer than that, but it's a Steam competitor. And then also, if you're interested, get GOG Galaxy, which is it's another client, but it also puts all your games in one place. I actually wanted a game that you can just casually drive around. That's a good one. Grand Theft Auto. Theft Auto 5.
Got a pretty cool city to explore.
Yeah. So that I tried to claim it a couple different times and it was overloaded. That's how many people. Tito, you got to set up GOG Galaxy. What'd you think of it? Let me know. Because I used to be very much like, oh no, games need to be in Steam. Games need to be in Steam. Until I got that. Now I don't care. Now I just, wherever the games are cheap or if they're giving me away free games, I'm happy about that. So, the lighting looks cool. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I did this myself. Actually, you know what? This will make it look a little bit better. Woo! There, now you have the blue and the green. But it's funny because I meant to send you guys this meme and I forgot. It's a Zoom call and one of the guys has like neon lights, RGB lights behind him, and the rest of them are like plain looking offices and rooms, and it's like the one coworker you have that streams. So I sent it to my wife because she's always on Zoom calls over here, and my Rated G games and my shelf are glowing in the background, and I'm like, she's very much feels that. No, they're not Philips Hue. These light bulbs are, well, the light strips are just cheap light strips, and then the bulbs are just, they were, I think, $5 a piece from Amazon, and then they have a little remote.
I have some Philips Hue. I'm kind of bummed, though, because my roommate is the one that has the bridge, and he's in Florida, and he's going to take the bridge, so I have to get a Philips Hue bridge for them to work. So,
yeah, that's frustrating. Yeah,
then they're expensive, so it sucks.
Yeah. Yes, they are. I go for the cheaper options for now. I would very much like to get the expensive stuff, the good stuff, because there is a difference. These light bulbs are fine for now. My kids
is
like.
Is there, though?
Yeah. I think you'd be surprised. This one doesn't have that many colors for one.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Philips Hue do the, was it 12 million colors or 5 million colors or what have you?
Yeah, something absurd like that.
So, anyway, yeah, that's Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I love it. We're, like I said, we're going to do an Assassin's Creed Odyssey Revisited. All four of us will be on talking about it, our likes and dislikes. My dislikes are only minor frustrations for it. I really do love Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I've also played every day still. I'm playing Animal Crossing New Horizons. I am slowly designing other parts of my island outside of my main area and then my residential area. So it's a very slow process, though. I pretty much in the morning, like, I'll wake up and I'll play for like an hour before everyone gets up while the house is still quiet. And I'll do my dailies. I do the Nook Miles things. I'll dig up my fossils and take them to Blathers. And then I'll go check my turnip prices because I bought 700,000 bells worth of turnips this week. And
woo!
Yeah, I haven't had a good price yet, so I'm getting a little nervous.
I can start checking my island too.
Yeah, well, I have all my kids and my wife now too checking their turnip prices. My wife had like 175 at one point. And I was like, not quite enough. Well, I wish I had taken that at this point. But
whatever. Stock market, man.
Yeah, stock market. What do they call it? They call it this. Is it the Sow Jones stock market?
Is that what they call it?
I think that's what they call it in the game.
Animal Crossing is so cute.
It is adorable. So yeah, I do that. And then, you know, I'll just goof around for the rest of the time. We actually, interestingly enough, played hide and seek last night in Animal Crossing with all four of us before the kids went to bed. And it gave me an idea that I think, because I haven't done any Rated G Games videos in a little while, but I'm going to do one of the four of us playing hide and seek in Animal Crossing. Let's see how that goes. Yeah, I just haven't had time to do anything. Like, it's just crazy. But I think we're going to do that tomorrow night. So that'll go up sometime over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, outside of that, I don't think I played anything else. No. If I did, it was, I played a little bit of Red Dead Redemption, just a few minutes. I have to like relearn how to play that game. But for now, I'm playing Animal Crossing, Assassin's Creed right now. So they're both AC, and when I see AC, when I talk about video games, it's just they're confused with each other.
Yep, so, I've actually had that same issue by like reading stuff online between AC, games.
Yep. Oh, one thing I did want to mention, I meant to mention this during my week, but I am switching podcast hosts. So since the podcast inception, we were at Libsyn. I'm migrating to a free host that does a lot more for us than Libsyn did for what I was paying them. The analytics seem to be better from what I gather. So if anyone experiences any hiccups over it's still transferring everything. So, It's got to transfer to all the new hosts. Apple is it's hung up in Apple right now. It's still working in Apple now because I'm still have Libsyn account active, and I will until the end of the month. Or when everything transfers over. So if there's any hiccups, that's why. But automatically the podcast is now available on Spotify and a few other podcast hosts where it wasn't available before. So,
wow.
Yeah. And it, again, it's for free. There's also no bandwidth limit. So I might up the bandwidth again. And, like our episodes used to be like 300 megabytes or whatever. So I might up it back again. I'll have to tinker with audio a little bit, but I might do that since we don't have to pay for bandwidth anymore, which is nice. So yeah, again, if you experience any hiccups, that's why. I'll tweet out I did tweet out where our new host is. It's anchor.fm. I think it's anchor.fm/thumbstickathletes, but either way, it's on our Twitter feed. Maybe I'll pin a tweet where you can find our podcast now. So yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, but tonight's going to be the first episode to actually upload to the new host. So
it'll be on Spotify, huh?
It is on Spotify now. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Which it never was before. So, all right, feedback time.
Let's hit it.
Tito says he's really bummed Corey gave up on Final Fantasy VII Remake. I was really looking forward to discussing the story with him and others. Corey might have ended up watching, I know with some games that he doesn't like playing, but he likes the story, he'll watch YouTube videos. He actually specifically mentioned The Last of Us as being similar to Final Fantasy VII Remake, a game that he wanted to know the story but didn't want to play.
Yeah, I kind of want to wait for him to talk about it.
Yes.
I think I know where he quit, but I don't want to say for sure.
Yeah, we'll have him on definitely to talk about it, because we won't do his thoughts justice, you know.
Yeah, no, I like it a lot though, Tito. I think it's fantastic.
I'm calling up Tito's feedback right now.
Yes, sir. Oh, I forgot to mention I've been playing Pokemon X too. So,
hey guys, this is Tito from LA. So first off, I beat Spider-Man.
Hey, well done, Tito.
Nice.
Thank you. I also got the platinum trophy for it, which I normally don't care, but that one wasn't too hard besides the stupid challenges, which I did not enjoy at all. And once I was done with that, I deleted it. Now I'm back to meandering around trying to find a game to play. And I really want to try to find a co-op game with my friend. They're just... doesn't seem to be the game I'm looking for. It just doesn't seem to exist, which is a co-op game, you know, multiplayer, not PvP, but like a pure PvE co-op game that's just mainly campaign driven. You know, there's a story and you can, like with RPG elements, that you can beat the story and you're good. And the closest thing is Borderlands, but I've already done Borderlands 3 and didn't really love it. I just got bored with it eventually. There just isn't a lot of options. I did find a great deal on the Trine series, all four Trine games on CD keys for $15, which is an amazing deal. And it's legit. I have it in my Steam library now. So me and my friend did play the first Trine a little bit. And, you know, at some point we'll get into it more, because I did enjoy it. I think it's fun. What else? Oh, there's another game I found in my pursuit of finding a co-op game to sink my teeth into, a game called Deep Rock Galactic. Again, Deep Rock Galactic on Steam, and I think maybe the Xbox. I think it's also for like Windows PC, Xbox, or whatever. Where it's 1 to 4 players co-op, where it has overwhelmingly positive reviews, and it looks really cool. And I did buy it. It just released. Got out of. Finally is out of early access and released on the 13th. The people love the community. Like, the community seems great. The people love the developers because they listen a lot. And for the past 2 years, they've been adding to the game. And you play, there's 4 different classes of dwarves that you just go in onto these mining missions. And each class has different roles. And you try to mine as much as you can, fight off you know, giant insects or whatever, and you use all that to upgrade your equipment and everything like that. That's one reason why I'm kind of hesitant, because I don't want to do any more of those like co-op games that are just kind of endless, like a Destiny, Division, or any of the other ones where it, you know, the story, there's no real campaign. It's just you play to upgrade to play. Rinse and repeat. I'm just kind of tired of that. But this one looks really positive. I think you guys might be interested in it. Another game I wanted to go over that I played that was really enjoyable, and it's free on Steam to play with one other friend, is called a game called The We Were Here, and it's pretty much an escape room. Again, ooh, it's free, so it doesn't hurt to play it. And me and my friend played it as intended, where we use the in-game voice chatting, because you have to hold the button down to talk. We just felt like it added to the experience, where we realized, like, oh, we have to add over once we're done talking. And one person plays as a librarian, another person plays as an explorer, and you guys have to communicate what you guys see around you to try to escape this castle that you find yourselves in. And it's a quick experience, at most 2 hours, at most. Easily be in 1 hour. And it's free. Really great. We really enjoyed it. It was a fun little escape room experience. If you've never done an escape room, this is probably the closest thing you're going to get to one. So check it out. The last thing I wanted to finish up with is I was super impressed with the PS5 Unreal 5 tech demo. The lighting looked really good. It's funny that I was just talking about how I've kind of got bored with graphics, because there really hasn't been much of an improvement. And this is a good step in the right direction. It's still not quite as realistic as I'm hoping for, but it looks pretty damn great. And I was much more impressed. The caveat is, it was definitely like, I don't think that wasn't actual gameplay, whereas the Xbox did show you, like, it seemed to show you real gameplay. And you know how that goes when, sure, that looks great, but will the games actually look that great when you are playing it, actual gameplay footage, or gameplay, you know, of someone actually moving and controlling the characters. So that's to be seen, but it was really cool to see, because hopefully that it should mean that games are easier to make with all the improvements, like their Lumen and Nanite technology that they were going over should save a shit ton of time in making games look great and not baking in the lighting and all that stuff. So seems pretty cool. We'll see what it has in store for us. That's all I have to say. I'll see you guys around.
All right. Thanks, Tito. So while we were listening to his feedback, Tito had me bring up Deep Rock Galactic video in the on YouTube. It looks awesome. Fantastic. It looks awesome. It looks like right up my alley. So I'm definitely going to investigate that game a little bit, because it looks sweet.
Yeah. My curiosity has peaked with it for sure.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's just like he said, it's a dwarf, and he looks like he's going on like a mining mission, and I love it.
Yeah, no, it looks really cool. I was looking at just images of it, of actual gameplay, and I was like, this looks sick.
Yeah,
it's a good find.
Yeah, definitely great find. He says they highly recommend playing with others, even randoms. It looks fun. It does look fun. Yeah, I'll definitely be investigating that one. That looks great. So. Yeah. You know what? Tito, I didn't send you your game last week because Corey wasn't awake. So you obviously won again, because we don't have any other feedback.
Hey, Tito.
Well done, Tito. Woo! So I'll text Corey right now too, and let's see. If I can get into his thing, his Hubble account. That's where we send the games from. So let's go ahead and run the game giveaway, Will.
Yeah. All right. Random number generator.
Tito said, also I made a mistake. Spider-Man wasn't Sucker Punch. It was Insomniac Games. True.
Yes, true. He is right with that. I didn't even think about that, to be honest. I knew who he meant, though.
Yeah. All right, I got to turn off the video. Okay.
Let me know when you're ready, Daniel.
Yep. Just a second.
Yeah.
All right, game giveaway. Tito is a winner again. Okay. What happened? All right. Okay. Game number one. Fire away.
30
is Oil Rush.
Wow. First game was a hit.
It was a hit. I've played Oil Rush. It's decent. It's like a indie strategy game. I think that if that's the one I'm thinking of.
106.
Magical Battle Festa? I think that's supposed to be Fiesta. Magical Battle. I'm going to put Fiesta just because I think that's what it is. Okay. Next game.
49
is Hopico. Okay. Game four. Game four is 88, which is Game of Thrones, a Telltale game series.
Oh my God. Are we going to have a clean sweep of games?
I would love that.
Because I feel like doing the game giveaway is like playing Battleship. I call out numbers and you tell me if they hit.
If it's a hit or a miss. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
22 for the last one.
22. Oh, Neighbors from Hell compilation. We are golden.
You know what? We're the real winners tonight.
We are the real winners. The listeners are the real winners tonight.
Everyone in this involved in this podcast, from the listeners to us.
Yes. Tito, I forgot what you told me you wanted last. Oh, see, he wants sequence from last week. Yes. So your choices this week are Oil Rush, Magical Battle Fiesta, Hopico, Game of Thrones Telltale game series, and Neighbors from Hell compilation. So let us know what you want. We will get that to you. I'm going to text Corey right now. Well, I'll try to log into the account first. And then I will text Corey.
He's probably up. He might be playing Odyssey. I've noticed him. I got home and got on PlayStation at like 2 in the morning the other night, and he was on.
Nice. The game has the tendency to do that to you, you know? Okay. Humble. I'm going to... I should have done this earlier, but I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so next week, Will, what do you think you want to cover next week?
It's going to be one of a couple things. One, potentially Assassin's Creed Odyssey Revisited.
Yeah.
The other is the publisher rankings or developer rankings, or we do an episode for each. Kind of thinking how I'm do want to do that is you and I pull a list of like 10 publishers and or developers,
and then we'll fight it out and ranking them.
Yep, power rankings with them. I think is what we should do. So that's like 3 episodes worth of content we got coming up.
What was the other idea we had? I couldn't remember. Of course, we can go back and listen.
I'm going to go back and listen because I don't remember for the life of me what it was.
unless Tito or Rachel remember, if you guys remember, let us know. Cause I knew I would forget if we didn't write it down. We didn't write it down and I forgot. So
same. So,
cause that's what happens. Pretty much anything we talked about on the podcast, I have no memory of when we're done. No memory.
Yeah, like I remember when like I would come home and mom and dad would be like, "Oh, what was the episode on?" And I'd be like, I'd have to like think.
Yeah, or because you know, dad used to listen at work, and he'd be like, "Oh, you mentioned something." I was like, "I did? I don't remember that."
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
So it's funny though, because back in the day when I listened to Nerdist, someone brought up something like Jonah had said in one of the early on episodes. He's like, "I don't remember saying that." I'm like, "How can you not remember saying that?" And then once we started and you're hundreds of episodes in, I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Definitely.
So, yeah. So, it'll be next week again, roughly 9 o'clock on Thursday. The only way we might have to change it is if we do decide to do Assassin's Creed Odyssey. If we need to change the day or time for Eric or Corey, we will let everyone know via Twitter. That's the most likely place where we'll post updates. So our Twitter's twitter.com/TSAthletes or @TSAthletes. I once again, I'm gonna have to start listing our stuff, because I haven't done that in a while.
We apparently don't even have a website, so
yeah, our website went down because Corey's working on it currently. Our Facebook, we don't really do anything with. I was doing stuff with Instagram for a while, and then I felt once quarantine hit, like everything got freaking wrecked because I don't have time to do anything now because I'm cleaning, and when I'm not cleaning, I'm unable to do anything. It's one of those things when I'm not cleaning or cooking.
Pretty much, if you want to talk to any of us, yeah, sure, reach out to us on like Instagram or Facebook. That's like the only way.
Oh yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, Rachel says she checked the Facebook today to see if there was a show. Yeah, the last post was 2019. Yes. So what happened, Rachel? I'll explain this real quick. For a while, I was really good about posting stuff on Facebook, and maybe 1/10 of our likes on Facebook. It was a solid post, though. Thank you. Maybe like 1/10 of the people that like us on Facebook were seeing our posts. So I was like, I'm not going to waste time with this. It's terrible. So yeah, I restarted the Instagram again, right before, I think it was right before COVID started. I might've given up before then, but that solidified the deal. And then, yeah, Twitter, we still post updates, but not as much.
I was doing really good at posting, usually on Monday or Tuesday that we're having an episode where it's on and the time, and then putting out another tweet that Thursday of like, you know, here's the link, yada, yada, yada. But what happened is I came home and I don't have a laptop or a computer here. So, I just haven't been able to really use, and I, God forbid I use my phone. So.
Okay. Yeah.
How dare you? Sounds like a total excuse as I say it out loud, but, yeah. So yeah.
Pretty much, Rachel, the best way you can find us is Thursday nights on twitch.tv/thumbstickathletes. That's the best way to find us. Though I do check our Twitter probably once or twice a day, for the most part. Not every day, but I try to check it a couple times a day, especially now. So that's the best place to find our stuff for now.
I want to get us going on YouTube and Instagram really bad.
I've got to start posting we've got a huge backlog of YouTube episodes that need to go up. I just haven't done it. So
I gotta stop being so lazy and just learn how to do YouTube and post on Instagram. Like I don't know why I don't do it.
It's
laziness is why.
But. Yeah. Well, that's just it. Like I said, when I have a free minute, I'm just like, I'm just gonna vegetable. You know?
Yeah, I'm gonna go play video games.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, that's everything for this week's episode. That'll do it for episode 456 of the Thumbstick Athletes podcast. I'm your host, Dan.
I am Will.
Thanks for listening, and get out of my basement. 1, 2, 3, 4.